And I think guys like this can prove to ins prove as to prove as an inspiration to people.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of Section 138. As always, I'm Mark Cawley. I'm joined today by Bryson and not normal, but also joined by Jacob. How are you guys?
I'm good. How's Jacob doing?
Yeah, I'm happy to be on for once.
You don't sound too finally excited, but whatever. Let's
go. No.
Okay. Well, it's been a week since we last recorded. In that time, we've seen a few things happen. Larry Walker has been elected to the Hall of Fame, so a great thing for Canadian baseball there. The Blue Jays also announced their promotion schedule for 2020, so we'll be discussing that. And then there's a handful of small signings that the Blue Jays did. They signed Joe Panik, Ryan Dull, Rafael Dolis, just coming earlier today, so we'll discuss those. Yeah, why don't we start with Larry Walker, because it's the most exciting news of the week, I think. You know, he had spent, I don't know, actually know all the details, but what, 10 or 15 years on the Hall of Fame ballot, and this was his last year, and then he finally got inducted, so that's really exciting. I'm really happy for him. He's going into the Hall with a Rockies hat, if I'm not mistaken, not a Expos hat, which he said he was sad about because he's from Canada, he's a Canadian kid, so he said that he wanted kind of to, part of him wanted to wear an Expos hat just because he wanted to represent Canada, but he's only the second Canadian to be in the Hall of Fame, so it's pretty cool. I'm happy with it. I mean, if you look at his stats, like Derek Jeter, everyone knew would be a Hall of Famer, and he has something like 72.3 career wins above replacement, and then you look at Larry Walker, and Larry Walker has like 0.5 more than Derek Jeter or something, just because he's, I was looking at it, I actually don't know much about him, but he has so many walks in his career. He has such a high on-base percentage. So that was really cool to see. And you know, I don't think anyone expected it. He made the Hall of Fame, I think it was by 3 votes. So no one expected this to happen. He didn't expect it to happen. I think it was funny in his, there's a video of him getting the call, and he's wearing this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a SpongeBob button-down shirt. It's very interesting. He seems like an awesome guy. Anyways, it's just some good news for this week.
Yeah, of course. Larry Walker, you know, finally in this final year of eligibility, going to the officially going to Cooperstown, which is obviously amazing. And yeah, to confirm what you said, he is going in with the Rockies hat. And I think it's something that we can all understand. Obviously, it's a little sad, and he even admitted it. Maybe a tough decision just because, you know, he was also a really good Expo. And compared to his results last year, he actually had a 22% increase in votes. So he was just, I think, 76, around 76 this year. So he was around 50 last year. So the jump he had from last year to this year is probably one of the highest ever recorded in terms of going to Cooperstown, which is also really cool. And you mentioned, Mark, his career WAR over Derek Jeter. And, you know, this is one of many stats that, you know, Walker actually has better numbers than a lot of first ballot Hall of Famers. And, of course, the controversy comes that with all of his numbers being inflated due to this time, the amount of time he spent in Colorado at Coors Field. But, you know, there's a ton of numbers that also can support his case away from Coors Field. And I've just won a really good number he has. His career OPS on the road is 865, and that is actually higher than 3 first ballot Hall of Famers, Ken Griffey Jr., Reggie Jackson, and Dave Winfield. So as much as, you know, you can argue that he did spend a lot of his time at Colorado, and maybe that's part of the reason why his numbers are really inflated, you know, the numbers here also speak for themselves that he was also a solid player away from Coors Field. His time with the Rockies away, and even again, his time playing in Montreal, and so on and so on. But really cool moment for Canadian baseball. You know, the second Canadian now to get inducted into Cooperstown. And, of course, the legendary SpongeBob shirt he was wearing, or whatever you want to call it, which was really cool. And, you know, the day, too, when he got inducted, it's like he almost played kind of like a reverse psychology. He tweeted beforehand that he thought he was going to be short by just about short of getting inducted. And turns out that, you know, I guess he went the safer road. He was expecting not to go in, and he got much of a better outcome rather than being so overly anxious and overly confident that he was going to get in. So it makes it a lot more special. And the phone call he got when he got inducted was just... it was really cool to see around for Canadian baseball as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat too much of what you said, but I think it is awesome that another Canadian finally gets in, because, I mean, we've seen a lot of Americans and players from other countries getting in to these types of areas where they're being recognized for their great play in baseball. And it's great to finally see, as Canadians, somebody do this, because it kind of proves his inspiration. Like, we saw last year with the Raptors doing so well, then a lot of people are playing basketball. Kind of similar here. Maybe a lot of people are going to look into this and say, you know, I want to be like that guy. And, you know, this kind of reminds me, a couple of years ago, I think Steven Stamkos, he actually said that he was originally supposed to play baseball, but switched to hockey just because it's an easier sport to get into if you're Canadian. And I think guys like this can prove as an inspiration to people, to say, you know, maybe you can make it in like the baseball world as a Canadian. And it's a nice moment to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's not much more to talk about. It's just kind of a feel good moment, especially for Canadian baseball. I don't think it's that Canadian baseball is kind of like surging in popularity or anything. I think it's just, you know, over time we've had two really good players. But I also think that, like, yeah, it's a good thing for people to be able to see, like, yeah, Canadians don't just play hockey. We also play basketball because we just won the NBA championships. And we also play baseball because we have now two guys in the Hall of Fame. So that's exciting. The Blue Jays just announced their promotion schedule earlier this week. It has a lot of fun ones. Start things off with a t-shirt giveaway and a magnet schedule giveaway on opening day. Later in opening weekend, we got a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home run counter bobblehead giveaway. It's a mouthful. The Looney Dog Knights are returning. And there's a handful of, obviously, other promotions. Yoga Night. There's a Hello Kitty bobblehead giveaway. There's a Kevin Biggio bobblehead. There's Army Green hat giveaway. There's a Pride towel giveaway. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. kind of button down beach shirt is what they're calling it. I want to go to that game. That looks fun. A bag, more jerseys, hats. So in total, it looks like kind of the same thing from last year. I know you guys have some thoughts on this, so I'll let you take the floor.
Yeah, obviously, you know, one of the things I look forward to each year is when the Blue Jays actually release their promotion dates. It's always something that, you know, kind of everybody circles on the calendar, and you know, it's something that, again, it brings people into the stands. So starting things off, I'm just gonna say my favorite are the ones I'm most looking forward to. So first of all, the Toonie Tuesdays. Toonie Tuesdays, sorry, tongue twister a little bit. That's something that I actually got to experience a few times last year, and I thought it was really cool. A really price-friendly thing for fans around the stadium. You know, it's, you know, just the way, I guess you want to say, prices at sporting events now these days. It's obviously a rip-off, but, you know, it's really good business for the other side, but it's a lot of money to spend, and, you know, it's something that's really cool. Again, and you mentioned there's going to be five bobblehead releases. So Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home run counter, Kevin Biggio hit for the cycle bobblehead, and a Bo Flo bobblehead. So first of all three bobbleheads, I'm equally excited for. I'd like to get my hands on at least, or the goal is to get obviously one, but if all goes well, I hopefully can get two out of the three. And, you know, on Canada Day, there's going to be a Vladdy Sr. and Vladdy Jr. dual bobblehead giveaway as well. And that's going to be, you know, that'd be really special to get a hand on one of those. Obviously, Canada Day is a little more difficult due to the actual, you know, it's actually, based off the past couple of years, it's one of the only games that the Jays can sell out now, rather than opening day, or at least really cool. or sorry, really close. Another cool giveaway I'm looking forward to is the Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Peanut Power Peach shirt day plan. I could use a new beach shirt. And again, really cool promotions that the Jays have done. I think they've done really well the past couple years. And, you know, my biggest highlight on it would be the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home run counter bobblehead, which is happening on March 28th. So right at the beginning of the season, which is really cool. Other giveaways, you know, I'm not too, you know, it's not one of those things where I feel like I got to get in the building for that. So, like, just an example could be, you know, replica jersey giveaways, even though they're cool. Another one would be the Blue Jays floppy hat. That's another one I've kind of got a little bit interested in, just because I don't really have a floppy hat, and maybe wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe invest in one or get one for free, as I should say. But yeah, those are kind of the highlights on mine.
Yeah, I think it's honestly cool that the Blue Jays, they do this, and they spend a lot of time and money into investing into these types of giveaways for people. Personally, I think maybe having two Vladdy bobbleheads, I mean, I love Guerrero, I'm not going to say I don't, but I think having two of them in the same year, I mean, yeah, I think it'll bring people in, but I think it's kind of a little too much, because I don't think you can now make another bobblehead of his at least for a couple of years, because then it'll just kind of get redundant after time has gone on. But I do like him. I'm not going to complain too much. I think I'm hoping to go to opening day, or at least one of the games opening week. I haven't actually been in a long time to any game. I do want to try and get one of those, the home run bobblehead for the, I think it's on March 28th. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But overall, I mean, I think it's also the Kevin Biggio one. I think that'll be pretty cool, just because I remember so vividly watching that game. And I think, you know, getting to update my bobblehead collection would actually be pretty cool. And also one day for me that I always like to try and go to is Country Day, because I think, I mean, I don't listen to country music that much, but I do actually thoroughly enjoy it. And I think just going there and the atmosphere there is pretty nice. But yeah, I think just overall, it's pretty cool that they do these things. And honestly, I've been wanting to go to the fan appreciation nights a couple in September last couple of years, but I haven't really been able to. I think this year they are doing, what are they doing? They're doing, I think, a vest giveaway at the end of September, and then there's the cheaper food nights, which are actually pretty cool. I probably will end up going to one of those, because when I go to games, I get really hungry, and their things are so expensive. But yeah, I think overall it'll be pretty cool, and I'm really excited, and yeah, I think it's great that they do these types of things.
Yeah, I want to contest one thing you said, in that you don't listen to country music that much, because maybe not anymore, but it seems like you used to listen to a lot of country music.
I listen to a bit, like, I like every genre, but like, I do have a bunch of country music on my playlist, but for the most part, I do kind of skip those songs.
Are you still a big Fall Out Boy fan?
Oh, it's mainly like kind of, nah, I listen to a lot of like rock and alternative type of stuff. Anything with like a bunch of distorted guitars. But I do love country music. I think, funny enough, I've only ever been to country concerts, even though I would say I don't listen to it that much. But I think it's a really good genre, honestly. And it's fun to go there, because it's a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, it's going
to
feel a little different, though, this year, the Country Day, just because, you know, the presence of Smoke. Smoke's been kind of the head player that's kind of been on the, you know, promotional side of Country Day. So that'll be interesting how they do that this year, but
it's John Gibbons' daughter, right?
Who is, yeah, that's right, yeah,
playing, and thing that they no longer kind of have that connection. But yeah, it seems like there's nothing really this year that stands out. The one I'd say I'm most excited for is as I've mentioned before, my favorite player is Lourdes Gurriel Jr. So I'm excited for that one. But there's had a alarm clock giveaway. And, like, that's a game that I really wanted to go to because of that. But I don't really see anything this year to me like that. And, you know, single game tickets did go on sale this week. So I don't really feel an onus right now to buy a ticket to any one of these games because of any specific giveaway. Although they are exciting, and I'm pretty excited to see some of them that really haven't been announced yet, like the Hello Kitty bobblehead, which is Blue Jay themed. They haven't released a picture for that, so that should be exciting. And then there's also the Kevin Bijo Hit for the Cycle bobblehead, as we mentioned, and they haven't released a picture for that. So some of this stuff is still to come. But yeah, the Blue Jays over the past week have done a handful of small signings that probably won't make too much of a difference at the major league level. But just starting off today, they had, I'd say, the most noteworthy signing of the week. They signed Rafael Dolis to a one-year major league deal. Scotty Mitchell of TSN, he was the first one to report it. It was confirmed by others, including Ben Nicholson-Smith. The deal includes an option for 2021, and Dolis is a reliever. He pitched in Japan for the past few years, but in 2019, 5-1, ERA, again, it's all out of the bullpen, but still really good number. And, you know, just looking back on his numbers, Dolis hasn't pitched in the majors since 2013. He has a lot of good, consistent numbers in the past, you know, 5 years from Japan. So looking back in 2018, he has an ERA of 2.8, 2017, 2.71, 2016, he played in fewer games. He only pitched 34 innings, but he had an ERA of 2.12. And in 17 games, 17 innings as well in 2015 and 2016, in Dominican League, he had a 0.53 ERA. So, obviously those numbers are not directly transferable because they are from foreign leagues, but they're still good. And he has major league experience. He made, according to Sportsnet, 40 appearances with the Cubs between 2011 and 2013. And he's still only 32 years old. So I think this is a good signing for the Blue Jays because it only costs him $1 million plus whatever he accrues in bonuses over the 2020 season. And then they have the option as a club to pick up his contract for 2021. So, yeah, I like with any of these deals, there's no downside. And I think the Blue Jays were right to prioritize signing someone like this for the bullpen.
Yeah, as the great Mike Wilner would say, you can never lose out on a one-year deal. And, you know, again, lots of signings they made this week. I just wanted to say some other ones that they've done. And these are all minor league deals with invites to spring training. So Patrick Cantwell, catcher, Caleb Joseph, catcher. We obviously are familiar with him a little bit since he's spent time with Baltimore. And infielder Ruben Tejada. So, and of course, Joe Panik, who I think you've mentioned already. And the interesting one with Joe Panik is I've been seeing a lot of, based off of reaction online, a lot of Eric Sogard comparisons here for Joe Panik, who can, you know, possibly or has a chance to revamp his career in Toronto. And that doesn't even mean he can make the major league roster out of spring training, as Sogard obviously started last season in AAA. And, you know, Joe Panik's still got something to prove. And, you know, he's obviously got a great resume. He's got a career 334 on base percentage. So one thing that he's always done successfully is get on base. And he spent 39 games with the Mets to finish off the back end of last year and had a 277 average. So he played pretty good near the end. You know, before that, he was struggling. He was struggling mightily in or with the Giants. Obviously, that's where he's most known for. And he eventually got released during the year, and he went home to play for the Mets. And again, Ryan Dahl, someone who we're kind of familiar with, he actually had one appearance for the Jays last year, and it didn't go too well. In over one inning, he posted a 6.75 ERA and as a Blue Jay. So hopefully he can, you know, drop that number down a little bit as he's looking to spend more time, as he'll spend parts with the major league team depending on performance and injuries, so on and so on. He spent part of last year as well with the Yankees, majority of his time. And Rafael Dolis, again, he's somebody who hasn't pitched in the majors, as you mentioned, since 2013. And, you know, based off of his numbers since he's left the majors, you can see that, you know, his stretch going to Japan or playing in other leagues worked out for him, actually. And from 2016 to 2019, just based off of average numbers, he's got a 2.49 ERA with 96 saves. So I guess it's something to kind of look forward to, but you made a good point saying it's not very transferable just because he's been in different leagues. But I guess it's something that another depth piece that you can't go wrong with. And, you know, the Jays, again, that's just a classic thing, but when you're you're building up towards spring training, just signing players to minor league deals, especially in the bullpen, on 1 year deals, no lose deals, because even if they don't make the major league roster, they could be valuable pieces for you in the minor league. So nothing to complain about there. And hopefully for other players like Panic, you hope he can kind of revamp his career. He's on another 1 year deal. And, maybe it will work out like Sogard, and maybe it won't. But again, you can never lose out on a 1 year deal.
Yeah, I like the comparison that you just brought up from Panic to Sogard. I think that's interesting because actually, since Panic's been in the majors, he has actually never had an on base percentage below 0.300, which honestly, that's really good in my opinion. And I think the fact that he is 28 years old, he could provide if he were to make it to the, or he were to make the cut start come the start of the season, I think he could be a valuable veteran piece. I mean, he's not like significantly older, but he has been an all-star, he has been in the World Series, he has won a gold glove, so I think he's a guy that could still add some form of experience to help these younger guys. But yeah, I think also just overall the Blue Jays are good and they're doing the right thing. When you're rebuilding, you want to sign as many guys as you can. And even if you're not rebuilding, going into spring training, you want to have people to look at. You never know who could come out of spring training as, it could emerge and make your roster. I think, was it 5 years ago? I think it was back when Roberto Osuna was kind of a nobody. He and Miguel Castro, they were just kind of brought in, and then they ended up actually doing pretty well that season. Well, Osuna at least. And, it shows that, you bring anybody in, whether they have a proven track record or they just need that one chance, it's good because now you have options. You have a lot of people that are competing for a set number of spots, and that, that promotes them to want to play really well in order to get to the major leagues and stay there. So I think, yeah, there's no losses that could ever come out of this, I think.
Mm-hmm. I do not recognize any of the names. But in this list of the move, to be honest, I kind of forgot about Ryan Dull. But of all the following names, I know them, like Ruben Tejada, Joe Panic, Caleb Joseph, Patrick Cantwell. I recognized all those names, which I found was interesting, and they seem to be all kind of like washed up major leaguers, with the exception of Cantwell, because he's been in the Blue Jays organization for something like 8 years as a catcher. What do you guys think about Caleb Joseph? Because there was a feud many years ago, I think it was 2015, involving Caleb Joseph, because just reading now in the Baltimore Sun, when he was with the Orioles, Jose Reyes accused Joseph of stepping on his hand on a play at the plate. So Marcus Stroman threw at Joseph's head. And then in another game, Aaron Sanchez threw at Caleb Joseph, although apparently it wasn't intentional. So there's definitely lots of tensions between these two parties. Do you think any of that still resonates now? I think largely without Jose Bautista, the feud between the Orioles and the Blue Jays has kind of cooled down now.
The one highlight I'm going to say out of all the players you've mentioned with past history with Caleb Joseph is none of them are on the team anymore. And I think that's got a big, that's got a big factor in bringing him in. And quite frankly, too, it was under a different front office and, lots of other factors. And I'm sure Caleb Joseph, that's going to be a lot easier for him to, not even think about anymore. Those rivalries between the Jays and Orioles a few years ago, when both teams were good, there were some heated moments, like you said, and even going back even further before they were both playoff teams with Darren O'Day and Jose Bautista. But, none of these players are there anymore, so I haven't really looked into it too much. But, and again, Caleb Joseph, he's got six, he spent five out of his 6 years with the Orioles, and last year he spent time with the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. He only appeared in 20 games, though. And, the thing with Caleb Joseph is he's a typical backup catcher. With a healthy roster, I doubt he's going to make the opening day roster. But again, anything can happen during the spring training. But you know what you're getting out of Caleb Joseph. You're getting, you're not getting a very good hitter, with a career OPS of 620 and a career average of 220. So it's something again, and again, an on-base percentage below 300. So he's a typical backup catcher, who's, you know, he likely won't be making the opening day roster. And I don't see too much out of any further problems with Caleb Joseph.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you brought that up because I was thinking the exact same thing. I don't necessarily think that this is going to impact Caleb Joseph's chance of making the roster, although I still doubt it with Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire. Perhaps if someone like Stroman, was still on the team, who was kind of in the middle of that feud, that there could be the potential for some type of arguments, if any, but I'd kind of doubt it. I think everybody has probably moved on by now. I don't really think it will impact his chances, although, like I said, I doubt he's really going to make it. He's just been signed as a due diligence to just add more depth to your organization if something bad were to happen to your primary catchers.
Yeah, I just want to, before we wrap things up, Mark, I just want to switch gears quickly and give a quick shout out to Nate Pearson, Jordan Groshans, and Simeon Woods Richardson for cracking the top 100 MLB prospects list for 2020. And obviously, we'll start with Nate Pearson. We know he's the big name this year that's going to be coming up. Who knows when? Maybe a month in, 2 months in, kind of like the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. situation. Who knows when? Jordan Groshans, he's got a bounce back season ahead of him. He was injury plagued last year, so his season was kind of put to a halt. And again, Simeon Woods Richardson, one of the other famous names in the Marcus Stroman trade, where the Jays front office got a lot of heat for him, acquiring a 19-year-old pitcher where you just don't know what you're going to get out of him. But hey, give credit to them. Give credit to him, to Woods Richardson. He's ranked 98th now. He cracked the top 100. So two out of the three good pitching prospects, and you know the future continues to look bright in Toronto.
Yeah, we got Pearson is at number 7, so that's pretty incredible. And then, as you mentioned, Groshans is 29, and then Simeon Woods Richardson is at 61 on that Baseball America list. So that's, yeah, it's great that even after, you know, Kevin Biggio, Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., we're seeing another wave of prospects coming up. Okay, quickly before we wrap up, got one listener question, or a few questions that kind of sum it up, but Kevin Pillar is still unsigned. Very quickly, should the Blue Jays go after him, yes or no?
Don't think they need him, no.
Honestly, I don't either. I'm just looking at the Blue Jays depth chart in the outfield, and they have more than enough outfielders to last them for a while. I just don't see him coming and fitting in anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. I miss him a lot, but yeah, I don't think they need him. Okay, well, that pretty much wraps up everything for today. Thank you to Jacob and Bryson for joining me, and thank you to everyone who listened. As always, you can rate and review our podcast, Section 138, wherever you find podcasts. And please, if you enjoyed this episode, tell a friend, and if you want to hear something special next week, just DM me, and we'll try to work it out. All right, thanks for listening.